Have you ever wondered what it takes to be successful on American Idol? Find out on episode number 57 of Bits of Bryn. Today is Sunday, March 4th, 2007, and you are listening to Bits of Bryn. I'm sorry I haven't done a podcast in a while. I've been completely slammed with homework, but now that I've been getting on top of it, I wanted to touch base with you guys. I have some really big news. Last you heard, I had submitted my song to the International Songwriting Competition, and I had made the next round. Well, I got the results, and my song, One More Time, made it into the semifinals. Even though my song didn't make it into the finals, I am completely ecstatic with how well it did. This is the best song I've ever written, and I've never really submitted my songs into anything bigger than Reflections, which is a school competition nationwide. This is the biggest thing I've ever done, and I was absolutely ecstatic to know that I made it that far. I'm just excited to write more music. I've already started on a few songs. I can't wait to finish them, produce them, put them on this podcast. I just can't wait. It is time for American Idol Update. I've been thinking about how I want to cover American Idol this season, and in the past, I've been really attached to my favorites and my comments usually lavish compliments on them, and nothing really insightful is said. You can find out who won and how much someone adores their favorite at any blog on the internet. Anybody can offer that. And on this podcast, I want to offer something unique for American Idol coverage. And so what that is what can an entertainer get out of watching American Idol? I still am going to have my favorites if anyone wanted to know who they were. It's Phil Stacey, Chris Slime, Linda Doolittle, and Gina Glockson. But I'm going to watch the show with an eye for talent and auditioning techniques, because American Idol, it's just a series of auditions. Each week, you sing and you either get a call back or you have to go home because you didn't get the role. And these are just ordinary performers who've been auditioning at little tiny venues, and now they're on the national stage auditioning for the title of American Idol. And these contestants, they do lots of things right and they do things wrong. And I think that entertainers can watch the show and study their performances to pick and choose techniques that work and things that they might want to avoid, so they can learn from other people's problems and mistakes and not have to make it themselves, and also pick up on the things that will help you in an audition. As you know, the past 2 weeks, America has been able to vote for the American Idol contestants, and many of the contestants thought this was a perfect opportunity to show their versatility. And for me, what I think is that is one of the worst things that you could possibly ever do for the first weeks of judging, and I'll tell you why. Many people do not watch American Idol until the judging rounds, or the voting rounds, excuse me, because they want to avoid all the drama and drawn-outness of the Hollywood week and all the auditions, and they just don't like to watch that, so they watch the voting, where it starts to get really good. And so millions of people are seeing the contestants for the very first time, and the impression that all these viewers are getting of these contestants doesn't comply with the artist that these contestants want to be for the rest of the season. So these people that are watching you are going to perceive you as something that you're not, and they're gonna like you for that, and when you change and go back to who you really are, you're gonna lose fans and you're gonna have to start all over from scratch. at the same time, any fans the artist might have that have been watching them throughout the entire season may be disappointed with them because they're changing who they are and they're not staying true to themselves, so they won't vote for them. And so it's dangerous for the artist. Take Charlotte Church. She was a brilliant classical singer, and her career started when she was only 14 years old. She was on PBS all the time. There were 1,000 specials on her on television. I saw so many. And she sang at the Olympics. She was everywhere. She had a wonderful career. And then she turned 18 and said, "I want to sing pop music." And so she completely abandoned her fan base and went after this new genre. And she released an album, and it didn't do well in America at all. One track, the first track, it was a 50s remake, was on the charts in London for a while. And now she has a talk show that's somewhat successful, but she completely lost her career in America. And now she's just a woman on British television who can sing well. And now she doesn't have the career that she used to have because she didn't stay true to herself and she completely abandoned everyone that made her who she was to go after a new demographic. And it's the same with American Idol. The beatboxer, Blake Lewis, on the first week, he sang "Somewhere Only We Know" by Keane, and I was really nervous for him because he completely abandoned his beatboxing for that performance. Now, it's great that he wants to show America that he can sing well, too, but to leave something so big out of your music and what you stand for out of a performance that people would be expecting and want to hear is a dangerous move. And he's really lucky that he didn't get sent home because only two people could, and he has such a wonderful voice, and it was a good performance. So he lucked out, but for other contestants, like Paul Kim, who had been singing soul and R&B throughout the whole season, and then on the voting night, he sang a George Michael's pop song, and it didn't really comply with the image that he had established for himself throughout the entire season, and so he was voted off. If I was to go on American Idol, and if I'd made it that far, and I'm singing country music primarily, I wouldn't want to sing the first judging week a Celine Dion song. Even if I nailed it, it's not the genre that I want to be performing for the rest of the season and on any albums that I might make in the future if I was to audition. And any contestant that is auditioning on American Idol is wanting to make an album with their music in their genre, and that's what America is going to want to buy if they've been voting for them. Katherine McPhee is a perfect example of how not staying true to yourself will hurt your career. She worked during all of last season to establish herself as an R&B and jazz singer, and she was absolutely brilliant at it. She had a beautiful voice, and she sang that genre of music so well. And then she goes and releases this hip-hop album that's identical to Fergie and Rihanna and all of these hip-hop artists that we hear on the radio. And she's no longer Katherine McPhee. She is Gwen Stefani, Fergie, depending on the song. She channeled someone else every single song. And the album didn't do well because she didn't stay true to herself. And she reinvented herself on her first album. And the numbers really show how well that worked for her. She had the lowest selling album in the history of American Idol, with the exception of Justin Guarini, who was dropped by his label. She only sold 116,000 copies, next to Taylor, who sold over 200,000, and Chris Daughtry, who made 500,000 on his first week. She did absolutely terrible in comparison because she didn't stay true to who she was, and she changed herself, and so her fans, and I was one of her fans, they didn't like who she had become, and I voted for Katherine McPhee for 4 hours that night. And now I'm kicking myself, wishing I had been voting for Taylor, because he is a fabulously talented songwriter, and he is a wonderful, wonderful voice, and now he's got a great career, even though he's not doing as well as next to Chris Daughtry. But he's staying true to himself, and he isn't posing for all the Blender magazine, and he's not doing all these dumb things that are ruining his career. Well, Catherine is saying, quote, "I could easily make a country album because I'm versatile," unquote. And I'm thinking, okay, anyone can attempt to sing any other genre of music, but people's voices are tailored to different styles of music. And her album, it doesn't show off her vocal talent, which she can show off with jazz. It completely betrayed who she is, or who she was. And Sting, I absolutely love that man. He's absolutely amazing, such an inspiration to me. And he made a country album, because he tries to show versatility, and it didn't do well at all. Nobody really liked it, and it almost ruined his career. He had to reinvent himself doing chamber music. It didn't work for him, even though he's an absolutely talented musician. And it just goes to show, not everyone can do everything well. And showing versatility doesn't always guarantee a good career. People can be versatile all they want, but if the public doesn't like it, then there's no good in showing versatility. Billy Joel, who was an amazing songwriter, an amazing artist, he released his first single 2 weeks ago. Is this the first single he's released in 13 years? And people were disappointed with it because it was this slow pop song when they're used to this awesome rocking Billy Joel. And it didn't do well. It was released on iTunes, and there were all these reviews of people saying, why did he do this? This isn't who he is. That's not the Billy Joel that I remember. And as nice as this song is, it's a really sweet love song, but it's not a hit. And for the first single in 13 years, having a slow pop song isn't going to do very well for his career, because it's not staying true to who he's been. It's not complacent with the genre of music he's been singing for the past several decades. And I read in an interview that he wrote the song for his wife, and when he recorded it, he put on a Frank Sinatra suit and was channeling a whole new persona. And that's exactly what he did. He took on a whole new persona. He was no longer Billy Joel. He was a talented man singing a love song for his wife in a Frank Sinatra costume. And that's all it was. And unless you're a diehard Billy Joel fan, then that's not the type of music you want to be listening to. You want to hear, "We Didn't Start the Fire." It's an amazing song. He's written so many rock hits that have topped the charts, and then he comes out with All My Life, and it's just, it pales in comparison. Well, because he's trying to show versatility. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that versatility is really hard to pull off, even for established artists. And so, taking it back to American Idol, if some contestants are changing who they are over and over again to an attempt to show that they're versatile, they will be lost behind the contestants that figure it out and know that who they are and what they stand for primarily is who they should stick with, and then they become a powerhouse. And I just, for entertainers, showing versatility is great as long as it's within the confines of the music and the genre that you will always want to be a part of. I think the perfect way to show versatility is when the versatile song isn't by itself. If there's one song that shows that you can break out of the box on an album, while the rest of it is what your fans love you for, and one song is completely different, or one song in a show shows that you can do more than one thing, that would be a good example of versatility, rather than completely abandoning who you are to show another side. But if you try to show versatility in an extreme way, if you keep changing who you are from audition to audition, no one's going to know what you stand for, and they're not going to know what to sell you as. So just know who you are and stay true to yourself. It's the surest way to go. For the song of the week, in light of the past holiday, I'm going to sing Valentine by Martina McBride. Excuse me. It's been about a year since I recorded this song. I listened to it back after I re-recorded it, and I was amazed with the progress that I've made in the past year. What I've been primarily focusing on fixing is my vowels. They've been too wide, and so they haven't been as toned or polished as they could be. And so I've been working on that really hard this past year, and I think it's shown through in this new recording. I'm going to tack on the one from last year after the outro on this podcast so you can see and hear how I've improved. It was on Valentine's Day show number 33, if you wanted to go back and listen to it that way, but I made it easy for you. It's right after the outro, and I'm so pleased with it. I don't know if you can hear it, but on one part in particular, instead of "until the end of time," I'd go "until the end of time." I don't know if you can hear the difference, but I can definitely hear it, and I'm so pleased that I've been able to fix that problem in my voice, and I'm just so excited on the progress that I've made, and I hope that you'll enjoy the song. I hope that you had a wonderful February, and I'd like to thank everyone so much for staying subscribed to my podcast. It really means a lot to me. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy.
If there were no words, no way to speak, I would still hear you. If there were no tears, no way to feel inside, I'd still feel for you. And even if the sun refused to shine, even if romance ran out of you would still have my heart until the end of time. You're all I need, my love, my Valentine. All of my life I have been waiting for. My eyes and show me how to love unselfishly. I've dreamed of this a thousand times before. In my dreams I couldn't love you more. I will give you my heart until the end of time. You're all I need, my Valentine. La 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 la. And even if the sun refused to shine, even if you would still have my heart until the end of time. 'Cause all I need is you, my Valentine. Oh, oh, you're all I need, my love, my Valentine. There were no words, no way to speak. I would still hear you if there were no tears, no way to feel inside. I'd still feel for you. And even if the sun refused to shine, even if romance ran out of rhyme, you would still have my heart until the end of time. You're all I need, my love, my Valentine. All of my life I have been waiting for. All you give to me, you've opened my eyes and shown me how to love unselfishly. I've dreamed of this 1,000 times before, but in my dreams I couldn't love you more. I will give you my heart until the end of time. You're all I need, my love, my Valentine. La 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 la. Shine, even if romance ran out of rhyme, I will give you my heart until the end of time. 'Cause all I need is you, my Valentine. Oh.